to God. All right, just have your seat. This is life to us. It's more than gold to us that we should know the truth about God. Good morning, everyone. Are we ready? All right, let me see how ready you are. Can I see your Bibles? Yeah, no, serious believer, student. The Bibles, good. So the two persons beside you don't have one. Does he have one? Okay, does. Malachi, here's your own. Malachi has a hardcover note this morning. Glory to God. All right, so give him a Bible, please. Someone just give him a hard copy Bible somewhere. We have spares at the back. And can I see your book? Books. Okay. And your pen and spare. Of course, we have a bank of pens at the back. We have enough pens at the back. So if at any point in time you'll stop writing, just signify to Paracletus. You'll ensure that you have one. No, there's no cost here. It's free of charge this morning. Hallelujah. All right, so on Wednesday we started a study on breaking dividing walls, the witnesses. So on Wednesday when we started, we said concerning Bible study, there are two major things we must pay attention to, which are what? Number one, the documentation and interpretation. So we say we must pay attention to Bible documentation and Bible interpretation. Bible documentation means that you appreciate the fact that all you need to know has been written. It was written for a reason, and the documentation is important, so you don't go outside the documentation. The number two, that the documentation is of an intention. And proper Bible interpretation will help you to bring out that intention. And without knowing the intention of the Bible can almost be a useless material in your hands if you do not understand that it has an intention. So we are going to focus on that other part again this morning, the intention of the scriptures, and lay another foundation before we progress. Are we ready? Okay. Don't forget when we said to understand the intention of the Bible, we limited ourselves or we gave ourselves a guideline of Bible interpretation, right? Number one is what? What are the rules of Bible interpretation? Number one. Number two. Number three. Number four. Content. All right, so we said number one, grammar means that we must look at the meaning of the words, because words have a fixed meaning. The words in the scriptures have a strict meaning, and even though language has evolved and the meanings of things are not as it used to be before, it does not mean that the meaning of the words when it was written has changed. So we must always go back to check the meaning and then usage, how that same word was used in other places. Context, read the preceding verses, the after verses, the entire chapter, and then content, knowing the full intention of the Bible. So those were the guidelines we said a person should use to bring out the intention of the Bible. Now we're going to look at something again this morning. Let's open 1 Peter 1. You know, we said that context means to understand the meaning of a verse. Sometimes you have to read the preceding verses and then the verses after it. But sometimes there can be an exception to that, which is in the study of the Old Testament scriptures. Context sometimes necessary does not help you to understand the Old Testament scriptures, which are Genesis to Malachi. And we're going to understand why now. 1 Peter 1. From verse 9. receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. So in verse 10 and verse 11, we see a word repeated twice, which is what? Searching, inquiry. So this shows us that due to the limitation that they had of not having the Spirit in them, what they did was a search. Due to their limitation, what they were doing was a search. What it means there is that to explore, to investigate, to make inquiry into something, to seek for something. All they did was an exploration, an investigation, a search, an inquiry. Because of that, we are definitely going to see limitations in what they wrote. And how are we going to see this limitation? It means that sometimes they will be correct. Malaka, if I lose you anywhere, just tell me, okay? I'll repeat. So sometimes they will be correct. Their limitation is that sometimes they will be correct. Sometimes they will be totally wrong. And sometimes they will be on their way to being correct, which is partially correct. That is the limitation we see in their documentation. Because of that, before you start reading or trying to understand what they wrote in Genesis to Malachi, there is something you must first of all settle in your heart concerning all those rules of Bible interpretation. There is one important one you must hold strongly before going to navigate the Old Testament scriptures, and that is the content, the intention of the scriptures. You must be fully grounded on the intention of the scriptures before going to understand Genesis to Malachi. You must understand that intention. Otherwise, you will just make a shipwreck of the scriptures. Now, when we say understanding the intention is very important, it's also necessary to note that this intention is not something you go and search out. The scripture already tells us what the intention of the scripture is. So it's not something you need to guess at all. The scripture already tells us what the intention is. Let's see again, that's in 1 Peter chapter 1. That we read earlier. Verse 10 and 11. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. So this tells us something. That signify there means what the Spirit was pointing them to, what the Spirit was drawing their attention to. That is the meaning of the word signify there. What it was indicating. And then testified beforehand, of course, is what they have written. What they have also said. Like when you say the scriptures that are forewritten. They are written afore. We are written for our learning. That means what has been written before. So it now tells us clearly that what the Spirit was pointing their attention to was what? The sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Did you see there? Which was in, okay, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when he testified beforehand, what did he testify? The sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. That means the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow is what Peter explained as salvation. Of which salvation prophets have inquired and searched diligently, searching what all manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified, it spoke beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. That means the sufferings of Christ, the glory that should follow, is the intention of the Scriptures. Is that intention? That was what the Spirit was saying. That is a summary of the entire documentation. So let's see Luke 24. Luke chapter 24, from verse 19. Luke 24, verse 19. Gosh, this was Jesus after the resurrection discussing with two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Okay, verse 19. And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he who would have redeemed Israel, and beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. Verse 24. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. 25. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered and to enter into his glory? So we see a repetition of what Peter said. He's saying that, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. So all that the prophets spoke was concerning the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow. So he's saying, if you don't understand that Christ should suffer and enter his glory, that means you don't believe what the prophets have said. And I'll take it again. If you don't understand the sufferings of Christ, that Christ should suffer and enter into his glory, it means that you don't believe all that the prophets have said. Because all that the prophets said, all they said, was concerning the sufferings of Christ and his glory. And when he was telling them this, all that the prophets have said, where will you find it? In the Scriptures. That means they had a documentation of all that the prophet had said, which was pointing to that suffering of Christ and his glory. Yet they did not understand. Which shows that interpretation, even though it is clearly documented, interpretation is still necessary to bring out that suffering of Christ and his glory. The Scripture must be expounded upon to bring it out. Although we have it clearly documented, yet it must still be expounded upon for it to become clear. So let's see 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets. Now when we say Moses, what does it mean? What is it referring to? Genesis. So Deuteronomy, the five books of Moses. So when you say beginning at Moses, it means from Genesis to Deuteronomy. Then when I say all the prophets, what would that mean? The rest of the Scriptures. That's Genesis to Malachi. So after you're taking Deuteronomy, that means from Joshua down to Malachi. That means that's now the entirety of the Old Testament Scriptures. So beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, that word expound there is demenon. It means that to unfold the meaning of something. He expounded unto them. He unfolded the meaning of it. He unfolded the meaning of the Scriptures. He explained. If you want to bring it if you come down to more to explain, it means that when you translate something into your native language, for example, there are sometimes you might be trying to explain something to someone and the person is not getting it clearly. If you are able to speak that person's dialect, So persons that are more familiar with their maybe Igbos than English, and you're explaining, you're not getting it, and you say, okay, this is what I'm saying, and you speak, you say, and now you talk, if you talk and sing now, why? Because you have been able to break it down to something that they can explain, understand, right? So that's the meaning of expound there, to break it down, to pieces it to what the person can relate with. So this was what Jesus did concerning the scriptures. He broke it down so that they can clearly see the sufferings of Christ and the glory. Let's see Luke 24, verse 44. Let's see something there. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. So a broader explanation of that to ensure that, you know, there is nothing that is outside Genesis to Malachi that is not concerning him. Broken down further. Now see verse 45. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Now, the first understanding there is talking about their minds. That's what you see, knows, N-O-U-S, talking about their mind. To open there means to literally open. To open, to create a pathway. He opened he their understanding that they might understand the scripture. Now, the second understand there, this is what it means, that they might understand the scripture. It means to bring different pieces together. To bring different things together in the mind. To set or join things together in the mind. When you have different things in several places, then you're able to piece it all together. Not like an unskilled tailor, but as a professional, pieces up together, just join everything together. That's the second word there of understand. And another way you can use to describe that is a word that also describes someone who has the knowledge of the things pertaining to salvation. That is a word you can also use to describe someone who has the knowledge of things that pertain to salvation. So what does this tell us? It means that you have to piece together different portions of the Old Testament scriptures to arrive at the meaning. This was what Jesus did for them. To piece together different portions, put it all together so you can see the meaning. For example, you have a, like people, there are some games that they bring out, 1,000 pieces puzzle. There's a puzzle to put together a picture. Maybe this is already a picture. Then they divide everything that will make the picture together into like 1,000 pieces. And then they give you the pieces that put it together. So at the end of the day, if you are able to correctly join everything, what will you see? The full picture, right? But once it's in that pieces, you might not clearly understand that this is what you're after. So that is the meaning of that word there, that they might understand. That means for you to be able to understand the scripture, you must intelligently merge relevant portions of Genesis to Malachi to get that intention. You must merge it. So beyond the documentation, you don't just speak, bam, it's there. No, it's an intelligent merging of the important pieces to form the entire picture. That is Bible study. That is what we have in the epistles. John chapter 1, verse 45. And Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. That means the prophets wrote with an intention, and the scripture tells us that that intention was Jesus. So it's there that all the prophets, what they were writing about was Jesus. Jesus. He had an intention, and that intention was God's intention. This intention has been reviewed and documented. It's there. To now have a different intention when reading the scripture is to be rebellious. The scriptures already tells us, or the Bible tells us, the intention of the scripture that is fixed. This is what the prophets are writing about. To attempt to have a different intention on your own is to be rebellious, to be unwise, to be self-destructive. So when we say we interpret by content, this is what we mean. That we approach the scriptures with an understanding, a bias of what the scripture is about. Genesis to Malachi must be read with a bias mindset, a fixed mindset. And that fixed mindset is that you understand what it is about. If you don't have that mindset, you will run into problems reading Genesis to Malachi. You must have that mindset. The bias mindset of that intention God revealed in Christ. So we don't take Genesis to Malachi hook, line, and sinker. No, we are intelligent to merge the different portions of the truth and see the intention. Now, let's see John 17, verse 3. John 17, verse 3. John 17, verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This is telling us that one of the glory that should follow the sufferings of Christ is revelational knowledge. We are still going to explain sufferings and glory. But one of the glories that will follow, one of the things that will come about because of the suffering of Christ is revelation knowledge. That you will be able to clearly know that God is taught and explained perfectly is one of the advantages we have because of Jesus' sacrifice. One of that advantage, that is what we mean, the glory that will follow, the benefits, the blessings that we accrue because of what Jesus has done. This is a blessing that the believer can lay hold on because of the resurrection of Christ. So there is a learning. There are things to know in Christ. There are things to know in Christ from that same scriptures. So with this intention in mind, you don't go to Genesis to Malachi, pick the book of Amos, and just read. And all you are seeing is problems, or Assyria and physical enemies. Or you just see and say, can there be evil in the land? And the Lord has not done it. Bam, Ungwanu, see it there. Did you not see it there? It is, if there is evil in the land, God must have done it. That is not an intelligent way to study. It means that you have not settled that intention in your mind before approaching the documentation. Also, please note this clearly. The book of Psalms is not a morning devotional recitation manual. Or how do I put it? It's not for you to do your morning devotions with and say, no, if everything else fails, just open Psalm. Just open any Psalm. You can pray with it, or you can. That is not the purpose of the book of Psalms. Of course, the book of Proverbs is not for you to go and find kingdom financial principles to lay hold on. That is an unintelligent reading. You don't take it separately. No. You understand that the prophets all wrote concerning Christ. Now, please note this clearly. Why are we particular about proper intention or interpretation of the Bible? Why are we overflogging this, that the Bible has only one intention, one interpretation, which we must all subject ourselves to? Why? The reason is because most religious sects or factions or divides or how you call it, most religious sects you can think about that tie their own beliefs to Christianity, what costs or the foundation for which they base their peculiarity and their distinction is most likely due to a wrong interpretation of the scriptures. So, you will see this religion will say we are called Seventh-day Adventists. And the reason why we are unique and special is because we only worship. We know that worshiping of God should be on Saturdays. And why is it so? Because of how we have interpreted the Bible to be. Another religion, we say our own, we are special because of this interpretation. So most times they are not picking it from thin air. It's the same scriptures they are showing you. But what is the basis for which they are causing that sect? A wrong interpretation due to a misguided knowledge of the intention of the scriptures. That is why we cannot overflog it. The scripture has a fixed intention. Fixed. If you don't know that, you can pick it up and just bring out anything. Anything at all. Now, let's try. This session is going to be short. We have said that the scripture talks about the suffering of Christ, right? And the glory that should follow. Now, let's see how we can identify it. How we can identify it from the scriptures. Because from Genesis to Malachi, it might not be all that clear. You might not see it in every sentence, every page. But you must, with an understanding that this is what it's about, when you see it, you will be able to attach the proper value to it. Let's see Psalm 22. Psalm chapter 22. Psalm 22. Are we there? From verse 26. Or let's start from verse 1. Let's read verse 1. Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Now, let's see 12. Let's go down to 12. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaved to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots among my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. Now, if you are just reading this without understanding that there is something about the glory, suffering of Christ and his glory to set out, you might just see it as a man's problem. But the scripture now tells us that this is referring to the suffering of who? Of Christ. What he will go through. What he will go through. So, now see verse 26. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. And all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's and is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none shall keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him, it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he had done this. So, what will this refer to? The glory that will follow. So that is how we see the scriptures. We look for it to identify. Is this talking about the sufferings of Christ? Is this referring to the glory that will follow? It has to be something of one of them. Let's see Psalm Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 53. from verse 1, who had believed our reports, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed. For it shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He had no form, no comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one of us unto his own way. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before our shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. So what would this refer to? The suffering of Christ. Verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he had poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. So what would this now refer to? The glory that will follow. What will happen because of what Jesus has done? So, this is how we study the scriptures. Let's see an example. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Acts 8. Are we there? From verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasures, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? That means Philip asked the eunuch, are you understanding what you are reading? Now see the eunuch reply. And he said, how can I, except some man should what? Should guide me. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth. Is that what we just read? Yes, Isaiah 53. Verse 34. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? What is the prophet talking about? 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and what? Preached Jesus unto him, Jesus. So that is what we do. Bringing out Jesus from the Old Testament scriptures with the understanding that the scriptures were written concerning him. Until you can do that, you have not learned the scriptures. You have not learned. Psalm 102. Sometimes those sufferings and the glory can be obvious. You can just see it clearly. Some other times it will not be obvious. But what will bring it out for you? Understanding of the intention. Understanding of the intention. Psalm 102, verse 12. But thou, O Lord, shall endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the set time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. Now, when you don't understand the intention of scriptures, what do you use this scripture to pray for? The set time. You will, especially now that we are getting to the end of the year, you will start hearing plenty set time meetings. The set time to favor has come. Don't bother about the previous disappointment. I speak unto you, this is your set time. Don't be rebellious. So what makes people bring out all these funny interpretations is when you close off your mind to that intention and just think that the scriptures are talking about plenty things. It is not. The set time to favor her, the set time is come, definitely will talk about the glory that will follow, that will come because of the suffering of Christ. For thy servant take pleasure in her stones and favor the doors thereof. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord and all the kings of the earth thy glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayers. Verse 18, this shall be written for the generations to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. For he had looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion, and his praise in Jerusalem. When the people are gathered together and the kingdoms to serve the Lord, he weakened my strength in the way, he shortened my days. I said, oh my God, take me not away in the midst of my days, thy years are throughout all generations. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. So you will be able to see it clearly, even though some verse, it might look like in this verse is going this way, this verse is going this way. But when you take the whole together, you will see the suffering, you will see the glory that will follow. It's always there. Always. Always there. So we don't see plenty things. We see just one thing. The Bible cannot mean plenty things. It only means one thing. One thing. One thing. So, what have we been saying? What we do with the Old Testament scriptures, Genesis to Malachi, what we do with it is to intelligently merge different parts, intelligently bring different parts of it together to form that intention of God. That intention. And of course, the scripture has not been updated. It has not changed. What we still have, Genesis to Malachi, has been fixed. It hasn't changed. Jesus himself, he submitted all that he knew and did to what was documented. That was what Jesus did. So let's see, with no deviation. Let's see Luke chapter 4. Luke 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. Luke 4, 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fasting on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Now, what did Jesus do? Let's see Isaiah 61. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good things unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And you see how it skips the other part. Okay, don't worry, let me not go into that now. Now, imagine in the name of trying to read the scriptures as morning devotion manual or as prayer target for you, and the pastor opens this and says Isaiah 61 and tells you, "All right, claim this. Spirit of the Lord is upon you. You have been anointed to preach liberty to the meek, as you have seen Isaiah 61. Claim this." What does this sound like? This will be is someone that does not respect the intention of the scripture. Now, Jesus has said, "This is about me. This is fulfilled in your ear." And you are still trying to say it is about you. That is confusion. A proper understanding for someone who respects the scriptures will use it exactly as the scripture has said it should be used. So Jesus picked up these same scriptures, searched it out, and said, "This is about me." We cannot, or we do not have the luxury to build up things separate from what has been said. He defined his own ministry and stayed with the parameters of these. Now let's see something, another example, and then we'll close this session. Matthew 11. Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verse 7. "And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, 'What went you out unto the wilderness to see? A reed shaking with the wind? But what went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses.'" He was talking about John. Verse 9. "But what went you out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there had not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come." Malachi 4. What was Jesus talking about? Malachi chapter 4. Verse 5. Malachi 4, 5. "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." So, the scripture says Elijah will come. And then Jesus said, "If you will receive it, this is the Elijah of whom the scripture spoke about." Now, how absurd will it be that somebody will pick Malachi 4, verse 5 and 6 and say he is the Elijah the scripture was talking about? You know it has been done. A man rose up and said he's the Elijah. So that's just makes you wonder. But you might say that that one was extreme. But that is exactly what happens when the person does not respect the intention of the scriptures. When you pick Psalm 91 and say it is to do, get 91, one thing to get it, it's the same thing you have done. When you pick, say, I arise, O Lord, and let my enemies be scattered, and you use that to wage war for your village enemies, it's the same thing you have done. It's that same ridiculousness. The scriptures have an intention that you must stick with. It's not just anything you say, let us just read. You can use it to claim anything. Let us be claiming. No, we understand the scripture from that point of view of the intention. So what we have said this morning, in summary, is that the intention of the documentation is very important. That intention is very important. Otherwise, if you want to interpret only based on grammar, that is meaning, based on usage, even sometimes context, if you do not respect that intention, you can academically make a mockery of the scriptures. You can just see persons that, due to one intent, they say they are Greek scholars or Hebrew scholars or different things, just pick different scriptures and give it their own meaning. If you don't understand the intention, that is what will happen. So the safeguard in understanding the scriptures, in Bible interpretation, is first of all, what is it about? What is it about? What is it about? So when we study by content, we study with the intention, and the character of God as shown to us in Christ. You don't just say, God, like this Amos 3, can there be evil in the land and the Lord has not done it? Because of that, there is nothing that happens without God's permission. For it to happen in my life, it means that God made it happen. Or you say, like Job, I know I'm passing through this affliction so that because I have a special destiny. You know what they used to tell us then in school? That some persons, God will make them pass through. They're just being broke now. That don't worry. Don't worry. Because God wants to teach you how to handle wealth. The amount of money that will come into your hands, in fact, it has not been known to man. So because of that, God is taking you through this process so that you can refine you as silver, as gold that has been purified. And then you just say, So you'll be taking, you'll just be taking nonsense. It's happening to you. Don't worry. It has a plan. God has a special plan for my life. You will land in that plan indeed. Your own plan. So we don't understand things like that. No. We start with understanding that, hey, the Bible says that there is no evil in God. The scripture tells us clearly that God does not tempt any man. God cannot be tempted with evil and he does not tempt a man. The scripture tells you to resist the devil and he will flee. The scripture says you should use your words to correct negative circumstances. So because of that understanding, when you see a scripture like that, you obviously know that this cannot be what it's talking about. Don't attempt to be a martyr for the scripture. Don't, in the name of humility, accept everything. Hey, the scripture has an intention. Don't put yourself in Anna's shoe and say Anna went through this and then she now had a special child. Don't put yourself in that position. It is talking about Christ. If you cannot see Christ there, leave it until you can see Christ. At the end of the day, it will be obvious to you. But until that happens, respect the intention of the scriptures. Respect it. Respect it. So John 17, we'll stop with that. John chapter 17, verse 3. John 17, verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So please write this clearly, that there is a truth to know about God in the scripture. Definite. There is a truth to be known about God in the scriptures. Not plenty truths, just one. And that truth is life to us. This is life. this is life. That you can know the truth about the scripture. The scriptures have a fixed testimony. You cannot adjust it to what suits you. You cannot say this is the scripture I'm standing upon for my life. You cannot say this is the scripture, this is the covenant scripture that God has given me. Ah, you cannot adjust it to suit you. Scripture is as fixed as the documentation. If you cannot add something to Genesis to Malachi, then you can also not add the meaning to it that was not there. Is that clear? The intention is as fixed as the documentation. If you cannot alter the documentation, then you also cannot alter that intention. That intention. All right, let's be on our feet. We'll sing the song we started with again. This is life to me. It is more than gold to me that I can know that truth, that fixed specific thing about God. Not plenty things. Not plenty things. Not having a mixed knowledge of who God is. Good, evil, just take it like that. We saw someone that was saying, I don't like what people are teaching. Why? Because you are trying to paint God good. How are we trying to paint God good? You said it was not God that caused the flood. You said it was not God that did this, did that. Okay, now let's assume. Was it God? Is there, if God said, okay, the scripture says that Satan tempted David. Do you believe that? Since you say we should take the scripture as it is. Yes. See another account that said it was God that moved David and tempted him. Which one should we take? Take the two like that. So long as it's there, just take it. No, that is not intelligent. That is not intelligent. That is not. You don't just put your head as a reservoir of everything, just dump it. They say today God is a miracle worker. Okay, today God does no longer give miracles. Anything you just say, so long as it's just, I just accept. No, you must sift through. You must have a sieve, a filter in your head. You know how you, when you want to, when you make smoothies and all this drink and you want it to be very smooth, how you filter it to ensure that what comes out is what you want. That is also how you filter information. That is how you filter even the information contained in the scriptures from Genesis to Malachi. You filter it with, what is the sieve with which you filter? The intention of the scriptures. So you put that intention in your head, and then you are letting the information pass through. What does not fit into that intention cannot go down. Is that clear? So this is life to all. As we continue, we're going to now start seeing in details, one by one, what this religion believes. And we understand that this is just, it's just in trying to interpret the scripture without respecting that intention. We are not such. So even as we correct it, I'm saying this again so that you can also, for yourself, don't just think that it's other people that have the problem. You might narrowly have believed that. If you believe that God is making you suffer right now, it means also that you have fallen into the trap of taking the documentation without intention. Do you understand? If you believe that this sickness, yeah, don't worry. I know what God has said concerning me. This sickness is just me. I know. God is trying to teach me humility, because this one, subtly or whatever. If you believe that, you are falling into the same trap. So when we are teaching and saying, let us understand why persons went haywire. Don't just look at the big things. In the small issues, ensure you also have not gone haywire. Ensure you are strict and simple with that intention. Are we ready to sing now? This is life to us. This is more than gold to us. That we should know the truth about God. The labor is over. Now I am free. I know the truth and I share it with men. The spirit in me, I have seen the light. I'm enlightened and I share it with men. It means that you have seen the light with the spirit in you. You have understood what that intention is. You have seen the light. So there is no more that yoke, that burden on you. Rather, you are free. You are free indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is life to us. Eternal life is seen in knowledge. Seen in knowledge. Otherwise, you will actually have the life in you. And you will live like a man that doesn't. You will just be mediocre. No. Knowledge gives us that life. Makes it obvious. Makes us walk in it. That is why we don't disdain it. This is life to me, more than born to me. That I should know,
that I should know
the truth about God.
The truth about God.
This is life to me.
This is life to me.
It's more than gold to me.